Well, as I said, we begin a new preaching series today, Relationships 101. But as we begin today, we must start with the most important relationship. Of course, that is with God. I was 8 years old in 1963. My family lived in Albany, Georgia, South Georgia. It was a year that I learned an ancient song, a song about God, and I learned it in a different language, in Hebrew. Now, I didn't learn it in church or in Sunday school. We were active there, but I learned it in a very unique setting. The song I learned is known as the Shema. I learned it in the Friday evening Shabbat services at B'nai Israel Reformed Congregation there in Albany, Georgia. My mother, who was choir director at Porterfield Methodist Church in Albany, had gotten to know the rabbi at the synagogue. And she was quite surprised when a phone call came and he said, "I have an opportunity for you. I would like your help." See, the music at the synagogue's Friday night worship services included a quartet, carefully chosen voices to enrich the congregation in singing and prayer at those Shabbat services. And he said, "We need an alto." My mother was invited to apply. She interviewed with the rabbi and was chosen, even though she didn't know Hebrew, though she was willing to learn and did. And sometimes she took me with her. I want you to think about this. South Georgia, 1963. This little Protestant boy, 8 years old, going to the Jewish temple on Friday night. You know what I found there? Sitting in the congregation, my mother was up front singing. I was surrounded by all of these wonderful Jewish friends. They became such an important part of my life. They loved me. They included me. They respected who I was. And quickly, they taught me what was going on, because it was mostly new to me. But that's where I learned the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. You know it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. It's an ancient, old, old song. It's a deep expression of faith for Jews and Christians alike, because Jesus would bring that same teaching before us. It has its origins in the book of Deuteronomy and expresses the cornerstone of our faith. There is one God, and the Lord is our God. So let's take a look at this as we turn to Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." For observant Jews, you see that everywhere. You see the phylacteries, the signs on the forehead, the binding on the wrist that they have. You see the mezuzah on the doorpost and the gates. But all of that is to keep this before them, and I would say before us. Because here we see that loving God is a key command of Scripture. Why? You know the answer, because when you begin with God, everything else is shaped by that. Everything else is shaped by that relationship. We learn that in the relationship that God loves us unconditionally, that you, the world, are created for good. You have a design, you have purpose, and nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God. In other words, we have this generous relationship that God has offered to us. Now, some have called Deuteronomy Moses' farewell or valedictory speech. The people of Israel had been on this journey for 40 years. They've been out in the wilderness, and there's this promise of a land that's abundant, that's rich, flowing with milk and honey. It's always before them as a promise. Chapters 1 through 4 of Deuteronomy recount those key moments in Israel's journey from Mount Horeb in the Sinai to the plains of Moab. And in chapter 5, there is represented the Ten Commandments. They go back to that again, what we call the Decalogue. And, of course, there is the recalling of some of the events which took place when the commandments were given. Got to remember, we didn't always do it right. Now the Israelites are about to arrive at the threshold of that promised land. And here in Deuteronomy 6, we find Moses speaking to the people. Can you imagine? What would you say after 40 years and you're finally there? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is our God and is the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Several years ago, Robert Fulgham wrote a book entitled, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Many of you remember that book. Now, some of what he wrote included share, play fair, don't hit people, clean up your own mess, don't take things that aren't yours, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody, wash your hands before you eat, take a nap every afternoon, and when you go into the world, watch your traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Now, Fulgham wasn't simply recounting the basic rules of his kindergarten class. What he was actually doing was telling us that the very foundational precepts for much of life were taught to him when he was very young. Those rules would become part of his routine, his expectations. They would shape his worldview. So he understood that for life to work, you have to have a beginning point, and then you need guidelines that direct you as you move forward. Without that, you get blown all over the place. But what Fulgham was really pointing out, that Scripture reminds us, is that God knows that we need that. God knows that about us. And when we read about the Israelites, we can see their leader Moses reminding them about the beginning point. Moses knew that he would not go with them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He'd already been told that by God. So here he is saying something critically important to them. I will not be there, but God will be. The danger would come as soon as they cross the river, because they have a choice at that point, either to remain faithful or turn their backs on God, which of course would be devastating. You see, if they forgot the foundational pillars of their relationship with God, it would probably mean that, well, anything goes. Do whatever you want. And that resulting anarchy would destroy them as the people of the book. They had just left generations of slavery, and God knew that they could easily fall prey to the dangers of losing their moral and relational compass. I was reading this story, recounting the history, and I thought, boy, we need to hear this again. This is such a timely message for us today. The people of Israel crossing that river could be lost again. So can we. Moses knew unless they had a strong foundation, a starting point against which they could measure and decide everything else, they would be lost. And so Moses' heart was to remind them, these people he'd led for many years, of what that foundation is. He was saying, listen, friends, there is one essential core truth that you cannot forget. This one has to be right in front. It has to be first. Because if you do forget it, the results could be disastrous. They will be disastrous. There is one God, and it's the Lord. He's the one who delivered us and been with us through all this time, who loves you unconditionally. Moses hammered home this point, this truth. You can't forget this, he said. You can't ignore this, because if you do, nothing else will make sense or fit together. This truth is so important that you need to put reminders everywhere. Put them on your forehead. Put them on your door frame. Tie them to your wrist. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home or when you're away, when you go to bed or when you get up. Do whatever it takes to remember that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Moses gives this clarion declaration of how important this understanding is to life. He commands them, keep them in your heart. Keep these words right there in the core of who you are. Put them deep in your life. Let everything else flow through them. Let everything else be shaped by them. Because your relationship with God is the very beginning point of life. It is the prime relationship. I think if Moses were here today giving a speech like this, he would say things like, put them on your screensaver. When you turn on your phone or your tablet, your computer, let those be the first words you see. Add as a tagline or a header in your emails so you see it every time you compose one. Tweet out these words. Post them on Facebook. If you use TikTok or Instagram, put a picture up of it. But let this be the center of your life. Repeat these words when you wake up and when you go to bed. And when you read books to your children, include these words. There is one God, and we are to love Him with our whole being. He is our hope. He is our Savior. Moses points out that these words are not only essential, but they are a blessing, and they are beneficial to every life. These are life-giving words. Words which form the most important relationship that we will have in life. And since Moses will not accompany Israel into Canaan, he is at pains to stress what is most important before he dies. You think about this. What's the last thing I could say to you that's so critically important? And what he leaves ringing in Israel's ears is the importance of the Lord's instruction, his commands, his statutes, his ordinances, but it begins by putting God first in your life. Put God first. And that will shape everything else. It's a very old truth. But every one of us must discover it for ourselves. Years ago, I had a man stop by the church. He needed to talk to me because, well, though he was successful, and he'd done very well, made a lot of money. His business was flourishing. He was also very unhappy because he had this string of failed relationships of anger and jealousy and betrayal. His life was filled with turmoil. I mean, people may have envied his success, but personally, he was a train wreck. As he talked, I can only think of one question. So finally, after he shut up and he talked nonstop, he said, "So, Pastor, what advice do you have for me?" I said, "Well, I have one question for you." He sat up straight and he listened. I said, "Who's number one in your life?" He goes, "Oh, that's easy." Didn't hesitate. "Me," he said. Then he asked, "So what do I do about this mess? How do I turn it around?" Well, I told him, I said, "The advice I'm going to give to you, you may not like, but it is very, very, very old advice and it works." "What is it?" he said. I said, "You need a new number one." A new number one. And he looked puzzled. He said, "I don't understand. What do you mean?" I said, "Life doesn't work when we make ourselves number one. But it works incredibly well when you put God first." So I issued him a challenge. Maybe it's a challenge for you today. Because it's very possible that God is not number one in your life. The challenge I gave him was to begin each day and end each day with God. For 30 days, I said, "I want you to begin the day with God. I want you to end the day with God. Spend some time talking with God. Prayer. Spend some time reading about Jesus." I suggested to him that he start with the Gospel of Luke. At the end of 30 days, he came to see me. And the first thing he said was, "I have a new number one." "Really?" I said. "Tell me about it." And he told me that he had been overwhelmed by the response of those around him. People keep asking me, he said, what is going on? And he said, you know, at first I didn't like it, but everybody liked who I was becoming. One man asked me if I'd taken a course in self-improvement. And when I told him that I'd stopped trying to be number one and put God first in my life, he laughed and he said, right, how's that working for you? Well, skeptics are there. There are lots of dissuaders. But then he added, for the first time in my life, it's working out great. So this is your question today. Who is first in your life? Moses in his farewell speech to the people he taught so hard to free, the people he had led through these 40 years in the wilderness, people he'd loved and wept for, he gave his best advice to them before he left them. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Don't ever forget it. Let God be number one, and everything else will make sense, because there is no more important relationship. Let's pray. We love, Lord, because you first loved us. And because of your love, when we take the time to connect with you, not in some surface way, but deeply, profoundly, when you are first in our lives, everything else falls into place. And no matter what we're facing or going through, we have hope that cannot be shaken or taken away. I pray that we will have the wisdom, the insight, the good sense to always let you be number one in our lives. We want to be your disciples. We want to follow you. Lord, we want to be Christians. Amen. I can remember singing that song as a child, as a teenager, all through my adult life. I've often thought about those times that I've strayed away. What do I need to do to get back in that focus? And it begins with making sure what number one is in my life. That my focus is God is the beginning point. And through that lens, I've been able to see any difficulty, any challenge, any relationship in a very different way. Jesus said it well when he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That relationship of beginning with God has shaped every other relationship. And I'm not there. I'm still struggling on this journey. But I'm much farther along as I've come to a deeper understanding of what it means to put God first in your life. You see, the rest of the series will not make sense apart from this. But everything will fall into place when we begin with the Lord. So go now in peace and go in love. Amen.